A very good afternoon to you. Now we've been looking at Paul's missionary journey last week and this morning. And there's one thing that stands out in his missionary work, and that is persecution. It is said that the New Testament church is born out of persecution. Now I agree with that statement. And I also believe that the gospel spread because of persecution. In our mind, we would have thought that persecution would have stopped the growth of Christianity. Instead, God has used it for its expansion. And we see that in Paul's traveling, and when I talk about Paul's traveling, I'm talking about his three missionary journeys. We realize that each place he went to, he encountered opposition from the unbelieving Jews. And it was because of that persecution or the opposition, he moved on to another place. So we have seen him in Philippi, and then this morning we saw him in Thessalonica. And that because of the persecution by the unbelieving Jews, we are told that the believers sent him to Berea. Now, in Thessalonica, the text that we read this morning, right, and the chairman read it again for us, you will have noticed that there was a verse that said that the unbelieving Jews opposed Paul and then sought the help of base people. Luke, base people. Now what does that mean? Now if we put it in a simple term, alright, we call this group of people the hooligans. Alright, or the gangsters, the hooligans. And you see, the unbelieving Jews will go to the extent of engaging hooligans to oppose Paul. Alright? Now we know that God knew these things. And it was God's intention to move Paul from Thessalonica to Berea. And then the Jews went all the way to Berea to oppose him. Right? And the Jews realized that the opposition was growing strong. So they decided to send him by ship to Athens. And so this afternoon's scripture reading is about Paul's experiences in Athens. Now, when I read the portion of scripture, I just this feeling. The feeling, the thought is this, that the Jews are out to get a pound of Paul's flesh. I believe many of you would know that the phrase, a pound of flesh, is taken from Shakespeare's play, The Merchant of Venice. Alright, and you know the story, okay? And so, they're out to just get Paul. And the believers realized how serious the situation was, so they decided to send him to Athens. Why do I know that? They knew the severity of the opposition. Now, from Berea to Athens is a journey of 320 kilometers. That is over 200 miles. Why send him so far? Well, the intention is to get him as far away as possible from this group of Jews, particularly this group that had all the intent to get a pound of flesh from Paul. So now we see Paul coming to this great city, Athens. All right. Now, Athens is a city of education. Athens is also a very superstitious city. Okay, if we have read about this city, and even from the mere reading of the text we had, we know that there are many idols found in the city. Alright. A Greek traveler says this about Greek, says this about Athens. He says there are more gods than men in Athens. You know, he says you can find more gods than human beings in the land of Athens. Now that's how they describe the land of Athens, how religious they are. Okay, I went to take a look at the internet and see what it says about the religious climate of Athens. And it was said that there are something like 30,000 statues all over the city. Now, Athens itself is not a huge city, alright? But there are so many statues or images of gods found in that city. Okay. So we want to look at Paul's experiences in the land of Athens. In verse 16, which is the text that I wanted us to read this afternoon, it says, now while Paul waited for them, now remember Paul left Silas and Timotheus, okay, in Berea, and now he waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. We're told that Paul's spirit was stirred up. There was an emotional upheaval of Paul when he saw the city given to idolatry. Now, what was actually Paul feeling when he saw the city? In fact, the word stir up, it's not just merely an emotional upheaval, but the original language means, I'm saying the Greek language, when Luke wrote it, the word actually means to be stirred up in anger. Right? Now, Paul was actually angry when he saw the idolatry in the city of Athens. Now, he says, how come he was angry with a country filled with idolatry? You know, he should be burdened. All right. Now, I can understand how Paul felt. Many years ago, when I was a missionary in the Philippines, and you know that Philippines is a Catholic nation, right? When my wife and I were there, initially we felt sorry for that country. Right? We were based in Cebu, that is an island in the center of the Philippines. It is known as the second biggest city in the whole of the Philippines. And we just see idolatry everywhere. Alright? And we felt so sorry for the people. But after some time, our sorry turned to a form of anger. Now, you may say, hey, you are a missionary, you should not be angry. You are there to reach them. Now, I tell you why we were angry. We saw how people used religion to deceive the common folks. And that is the reason why we were angry. Do you know what it means to use religion to deceive the common people? In the Catholic religion, they make the people buy a candlestick, and then every morning they must go to the church and then burn the candlestick. And they say, when you do that, you are doing it for your departed loved ones. Okay? And the more you do it, alright, the faster your departed loved ones would be taken out of the place of suffering. Alright? And they will not call it hell, but they say it's a temporary place where they will be there suffering. Now, the more you burn that candle, the faster they get out of that place. Now, that is really a deception. Right? That is money making. For the common folks, you buy a candle. For the rich one, they'll go to the priest and they'll hand them some money. And the priest will say, your loved one is out of the temporary place or punishment. So we had that different emotion. Now it is an emotion of anger. Having seen how people used religion to deceive the common man. Right? So coming back to Paul, we're told that Paul's spirit was stirred up. He was angry because he not only saw that the land was given to idolatry, he saw that there are people with power using religion to deceive the commoners. So that was Paul's first experience. Then in verses 17 to 21, we are told that Paul met two groups of philosophers. In verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the marketplace daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what were these babblers say? Other some, he seems to be a setter forth of strange God, because he preached unto them Jesus and his resurrection. Of course, the Greeks would not have heard about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was something new to them. So you have this group of philosophers, right, meeting up with the Apostle Paul. What would you do if you are approached by a group of people whom you deem are very intellectual? Now, of course, Paul himself is a clever man, right? But what about us, common people? Sometimes we say, oh, we do not have that intelligence to face these people. We are not able to answer all their questions. Now, this afternoon, my purpose is to tell you that when we encounter such people, right, who wants to defeat you, in that sense, in your belief. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly how we should and should meet up with them. How do we talk to them? All right. Obviously, we do not have to fear preaching the gospel, because I've said this morning that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, just want to briefly look at these two group of philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics. These two group of philosophers have direct opposite philosophy. Okay, the Epicurean is one, if I may put it this way, their philosophy of life is this: be happy, enjoy everything in life, okay, and then at the end of the day, you'll be satisfied. So that is their philosophy. Okay. And you should have no fear, no pain in your life. Whereas the Stoics are more intellectual in a sense, okay. They accept the fact that in life there will be pain, there will be fear, you know, there will be challenges in life. Okay. But their answers to these problems that lives do encounter, okay, and that is their philosophy. Okay. One is just be happy. The other one, okay, we do have problems. We need to seek things way out, you know, to resolve all our problems. Okay, so these are just the two groups of people. And I'm not going to go and dwell in it because this is not important. We are told that they brought Paul to a man called Areopagus. Now, who is this man? If I may put it simply, he is the minister of education and religion. Alright? I mean, I just read from the internet who he is, and then, you know, there's a little background of his status. Alright? A long list of title and so on. But if we put it simply, he's just the minister of religion and education. And so he says, Paul, I want to listen to you. What is your teaching all about? Right? Of course, he has no intention of wanting to believe in the words of Paul. Anyway, so this is the man. Right. Now we come to the question. When we are facing people whom we deem as, you know, intellectual or people who hold high position, what should we do? Are we afraid to tell them the gospel? The answer definitely is no. I remember when I was in the States attending a particular church, and the pastor of the church was invited to be one of the presidential advisor. You know that the president of the United States has a group of pastors who are his advisors. So he was invited, right, to be one of the advisor. And in the prayer meeting, he was asking the congregation, you know, he says, what should a pastor like me say to the president? You know, I'm just an ordinary person, a pastor. Now I'm invited to be his advisor. Now what should I say to him? Now, many would want to go to the president and tell him good things, right? Things that he would like to hear. Okay? And he in fact gave us the answer itself. And this is the answer for us. Okay? Go and just tell him the word of God. I will go and just tell him the word of God. Tell him what God says. Okay? And that is what we should do. Okay? When we are asked to share the gospel with somebody who is of high position or who deem are very intellectual, we should simply declare the word of God. That's what we should do. Remember, it is not our wisdom. That enables us to convince a person. Alright? It's not what we say. It is the power of God's word. And that we have to realize. Okay? We have to leave it to God to work. What we need to do is just to plant God's word in the hearts of men. Right? I do not know whether we have that experience of speaking to someone of importance or somebody who we deem is very clever, very intellectual. But if the Lord gave us this opportunity, I want us to realize this, that we have the power and the authority of God's word. You know, go and tell him what the Bible says. Go and tell him the truth. And this is what Paul did exactly. You know? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, this is what Paul himself says. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. We come to the third experience of Paul in the land of Athens. In verses 22, right to the end, we are told that Paul came to Mars Hill and he saw an inscription. Okay. A rather ridiculous one. The inscription says, to the unknown God. Alright. I mean, the Athenians were so superstitious that they would go that far as to believe that there are other gods outside their knowledge. And therefore, they put it as to the unknown gods. You know, it's just that kind of mentality that some Asian people have. You know, I just pray to as many gods. Right? And I just hope that one of them is the true God. Okay. So that is how the Athenians approach in their religious conviction. Alright. Now, how did Paul preach to these people who go to the extent of believing in an unknown God? Now, we want to see three things in this passage of scripture. Number one, we want to see that Paul preached God is the creator. Let's look at verses 24 to 29. 24 says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hand, as though he needed anything, seeth that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he had made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, I just end my reading here. Okay. Now, Paul preached this message to them, that God is the creator. Right. Now, if you go to certain countries, particularly to China, you have many who claim that they do not believe in God. And we call this belief as atheism. Now, what do we tell the atheists? The gospel. I think Paul gives us a good example of how to reach those who do not believe in God or unsure who God is. So the first thing he did was to tell them that God is the creator. Now, I think this is a good starting point for all gospel preaching. Okay? Because Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, tells us that God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? And this is what we want people to know, that God is the creator. And we also want them to know that our life comes from God. God is the giver of life. You know, our life does not happen as a result of an accident. Right? God has planned and God has given us the breath of life. So he is the creator of the heaven and the earth. He is also our creator. So that is the first message that Paul had for the Athenians. Secondly, he wants them to know that every man has a responsibility towards his creator. Okay. Look at verse 30. Acts 17 verse 30 says, and the times of his ignorance, of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now I want us to see here that Paul is telling these Athenians that they have a responsibility towards God who is the creator. And what does God want us to do, or want them to do? God want them to repent. And we know the word repentance. It means to turn away from. We are to turn away from sin unto God. Repentance is to turn one's life upside down. Turning away, turning his life of sinning to God. That is our responsibility. Okay. And when we have to preach to someone who have no knowledge of God or very little knowledge of God, This is what we must tell them, that they have this responsibility towards God, and that is to repent. And then the third message, Paul tells them that there is a day of reckoning. If you look at the following verse, that is verse 31. Because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men, in that he had raised him from the dead. Okay, if you look at the verse, it tells us that there is a day appointed. What is the day? The day of judgment. Okay, and on that day, we are told that he will judge the world in righteousness. Now, the question is, who is the man who will judge the world in righteousness? He ended by saying that he had raised him from the dead. Now, what Paul is telling us is this, that the man whom God raised from the dead is the person who will judge the world in righteousness. And we know that ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the King and the Judge. He will be the righteous judge. So that is the message that we must present to people who do not know God. So let me repeat. When Paul spoke to these Athenians who were worshipping some unknown gods, he said three things to them. One, God is the creator. Two, that we have a duty towards God, and that duty is to repent. And then thirdly, they must know that one day man will stand before God in judgment. So these are the three simple messages that we can present to people who we deem of high position, who are very intellectual. You know, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and thereafter the judgment. So all men were to stand before God in judgment. So the summary of today, this afternoon's message is simply this. One, we should never fear to preach the gospel. We should be ready to preach the gospel to all men. Right? But we always feel that it's easier to preach to somebody who is easy to convince, right? Yeah. But that is not always true, because most of the time when we are sharing the gospel, we are sharing to someone who is not ready to believe. And there are times that we share the gospel to people who are very hardened or antagonistic to Christianity. Now, I want to say again that we should not fear them. Okay? Let not the fear of man become a snare, the Bible says. A snare, meaning becomes a trap such that we dare not tell the truth. May God grant us that bonus when it comes to the preaching of the gospel. Secondly, we must always ask God for wisdom. Because Paul realized that it is not in his wisdom that he is able to bring the gospel to man and then to bring conviction. He realized that the conviction must come from the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So the second thing I want us to know is this, that when we are preparing ourselves to preach the gospel to somebody, okay, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. All right? I know sometimes we do not have the time to pray, because that person comes to you and want to know the gospel. However, we should pray in our hearts, asking God to give us that conviction and the wisdom to present the Word of God. So, in this afternoon's message, you see this is the simple message from Paul's experience in Athens. May God grant us grace to be a good witness for Him. Right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the lesson that we can learn from Paul's experiences in Athens. And You want to encourage us in Your Word, telling us that we should have all boldness when we declare the gospel. I pray that You will help us to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Bless Your people, I pray. I pray that through our lives, there will be many who will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Hear these our prayers, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.